Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Somebody was texting Ian during the news break, and they wanted to know, why are people like this today? Why are people so critical of us continuing to promote getting the vaccine? And it's not the radio station. It's me. It's individual hosts have their rights to their opinions. I'm assuming the station agrees, but this is about, you know, our opinions, and I think it's good to get the vaccine. And I'll tell you why, and I kind of alluded to this last hour. I think people are really frustrated now because the math, the numbers, it all makes so much sense that there's really no really good reason to not get the vaccine. And this is generalizing, of course. The people who have said no have made this part of their political ideology, which is part of how they define themselves. That's where we are today. People don't define themselves as Americans. They define themselves as Republicans or Democrats or somebody else first. And to change your mind about something might cause you to feel like you're losing some of yourself, which I think is ridiculous, but I think that's one of the explanations for this. And there's so much information that is leading to, it's impossible to deny that unvaccinated people are dying, that unvaccinated people are getting sick and filling up our hospitals again, and that unvaccinated people have been responsible for this fourth surge. It's impossible to deny that. And so for those who don't want to change or want to admit that they, you know, had an opinion that they shouldn't have had about the vaccine at first, I think they're really frustrated, and so they're lashing out. And so that's the only reason I can, how I can explain that. And then, you know, and then there are people who just like to complain. There are people who just love to shame somebody for their political views or whatever, their weight. And we talked about this this last hour. And this country pop singer-songwriter, Jesse James Decker, went on social media, and, you know, she just basically said, you know, why are you making fun of my body? I mean, yeah, I gained a few pounds, and I'm not a big person, but I gained a few pounds, so it's noticeable. But if you don't like me, leave me alone. But that's just not the way it works. If you don't like somebody, it's like it becomes a sport to you to bash them. And I'd love to see the bodies of some of these people who are bashing Jesse James Decker or recently bashed Valerie Bertinelli. You know, let's think about this for just a moment. I met Wilson Phillips recently. And Wendy Wilson is lean. Carney Wilson, her sister, is not. She's a big girl. Beautiful face. Great personality. She's bigger than Wendy. Their dad is Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Are you going to tell me that the only difference between Wendy and Carney is that Carney decided to have a couple of hot fudge sundaes? No. A lot of it has to do with body makeup. A lot of it has to do with your genetics. And I see people on the street all the time who struggle to walk because they're so large. I say a prayer for them when I walk by. And there are people who, they don't want to be that way. Sure, there are people who don't take care of themselves and eat things that they shouldn't eat. I do, but I don't do it consistently. But the point is that everybody's body is different, and there are a lot of people that, you know, you might want to shame them, but they don't want to be that way. They can't help it. They were born that way. And some people are born with a higher metabolism rate. Some people are born with the genetics that just make it easier to gain weight. I mean, some people could look at a picture of a pie and gain 5 pounds. Some people could just eat a pie and not gain any weight. Tom Perumian, our newsman, news anchor today, told Ian that he had an episode in his life where he was body shamed. Tom, welcome to the show, and I'm surprised because you know you're not a big person.
Well, you know, it's kind of strange. I've had a big body since I was, I would say about 6 years old when my parents moved from one little town in California to Los Angeles. And I'm Armenian. And if you've known any Armenians, we can be big, burly, husky people. And we're big, burly, husky kids. And what I found, I found very early on that you're right. Shaming is a contact sport. I believe we live in a shame culture where little children are brought up to shame just about anybody and everything around them, and they take it right on into adulthood. And I've seen that since I was a little kid.
What was hurtful about you being shamed for being big? And again, I look at you now, and you're not a big person. So was there a time when you were bigger than you are now?
Yes.
Okay.
For me, it has always been surprising to me that how people will come out of the woodwork to get at you. People I didn't know in the schools that I went to between the second and the 12th grade saw me and would hurl insults at me. Just whatever they could throw, whatever they thought would stick. Men, women, younger students, older students. I went to high school in Huntington Beach, California, when Huntington Beach was still a predominantly white Anglo-Saxon Protestant WASP community. These people had never seen an Armenian before. I looked like my cousins. I certainly didn't look like the blonde-haired, blue-eyed beach-going types.
Right.
You know, and you really got a picture of, and it's color, it has definitely colored my view, but you really got a picture of just the kind of wickedness that will come out of people's mouths. They say that children can be some of the most hateful and hurtful people.
Yeah.
And but, you know, when you're pushing 16 years old, and you know you're still putting up with people hurling fat jokes at you. It's like,
yeah.
when does this end?
Well, Tom, I'm so sorry you went through that. I love to talk about this because I just wish more people would come to the understanding that, you know, whether it's kids or adults or teenagers or whatever, this fat shaming thing. It's like a lot of the way we look is because of the way we were born, and not everybody who is bigger just decided that they, you know, we're going to have a hot fudge sundae one day and they suddenly got bigger. That's not it. I mean, everybody's body is different
and
their makeup is different.
It's not fat shaming. It's whatever they can lock on to.
Oh yeah, you're right.
You know, height,
absolutely right.
Weight, hair, color,
yep.
Eyes, cross-eyed, glasses, tennis
politics.
Shoes, politics.
Yeah.
It's why I personally feel we live in a shame culture.
Yeah, we do. Tom, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and you do a great job on the news. So glad to have you as our anchor here.
Thanks a lot
for sharing that. It's Tom Perumian, our news anchor this afternoon. All right, let's go to Tim, who's in Thibodaux. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scoot. Thanks for your observations. Angus King, notably independent from Maine, said that Trump could really do America a lot of good if he would be an ally for vaccination, because he has been vaccinated, of course, and he went through near death, actually, beforehand. And I know that on several written accounts by bestseller people in the last half year.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Now, to your second point about the shaming and everything, please remember what Albert Camus, a noted atheist, once declared. He said, quote, "I'd be for Christianity and the Christian ethic if anybody practiced it."
Yeah, I think some people need to do a little better job at practicing it, because they certainly haven't perfected it.
That's
All right, Tim, I appreciate the call. Let's go to the French Quarter. Bishop, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Look, I listen to you all the time, and recently I've been hearing you say, you know, this vaccine deal is political, political, political. I mean, I voted for Trump myself. I can't believe the guy, you know, pushed the vaccine. He actually took the vaccine. I mean, people out here are scared to death of what potentially might happen with this vaccine. I mean, you've seen commercials of all these, you know, drugs on, you know, they coming out with. I mean, half the commercial is all the side effects. I mean, people are really scared.
And many people are, Bishop. And many people are. I think it's unfair to say that Trump pushed the vaccine. I mean, he got it and didn't even tell people right away because that didn't fit with his base. And when I talk about it being political, obviously, you know, and I'm sometimes mention this, it's not political for everybody. I mean, there are some people who have different reasons for not taking the vaccine. But we've heard today on the show just so much evidence that for so many people, it's driven right back to their political views. I'm not making this up. I mean, it's what people say. And in their defense of not getting the vaccine, when they start bringing up the border and they start bringing up the Biden administration and things like this, I mean, it's obvious that it's not about just the science of it that they're concerned about. It's about their politics.
Yeah, well, I don't really see it that way. I mean, I just, you know, Trump was forced, basically, overall to come out with this vaccine. I mean, the whole time he was, you know, every other press conference, he was like, you know, next month it should be out. Next month it's going to be this and that. It's like, I just think he had pressure from the left and the Dems and everybody else to try to do something. And he was like, well, hell with it. I'm just going to try to get this, bring it to market, you know. And
well, he did have a lot to do with the rapid pace, but a lot of work was being done in this direction. And so for those who are just skeptical about the speed with which this came to market, they should know that there was a lot of work being done that in the past hadn't been done before vaccines had been developed. And so when you put in the specific ingredients for this particular vaccine, it was easier for them to come up with something quicker than it has been in the past. That's the explanation that I've heard. But Bishop, I know it's not political for everybody, but again, people are, through their own admission, are admitting through what they say that it is political.
Yeah,
Bishop,
I
appreciate the call. Yeah. I've got to get to a break here, but I'm glad you called. In fact, I got to go to Ian Hoke Relief with a couple of quick text messages.
I'm just going to give you one great one.
All right.
I'm a libertarian, unitarian, humanitarian, born-again Pentecostal Christian Scientist evangelist and red-blooded American. I may get the DNA-changing computer chip cancer-causing vaccine, but I'll keep it a secret until Trump resumes power and Jesus comes back across the Mexican border and releases the child immigrants being abused by Hillary Clinton and the Dems in the basement of the pizza shop. And Warp Speed fries all the liberals around the world with the Jewish space laser.
I love this audience. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. All right, so let's have fun with bumper music this hour. It's July 29th. On this day in 1978, the Grease soundtrack was the number one album in the country. And, of course, this was the title track for the Grease soundtrack. It was huge. It was summertime, July 1978, and the songs and just the whole ambiance of the movie and just the message. It was just a great summertime story. So we're going to feature some of the great classics from the Grease soundtrack all this hour. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
On this day in 1978, the soundtrack for Grease hit number one in the country. And so this hour we're going to feature all the some of the great songs from the soundtrack and all of our bumper music. And this was a classic. Did you always wonder if, like, in real life, like off the set or behind the scenes on the set, if John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John were, like, doing it? I mean, don't you always think about that when it's, like, you know, actors and actresses in situations like that?
How could they not?
I mean, I know. How could they not?
They're,
really?
They're in the prime of their lives. They're both young and beautiful and in great shape and just like the center of attention all the time. There's
she had those leather pants. She had those black leather pants on. It's like, I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to ask permission, but I'm going to do it.
You got your own little trailer. You got a private
That's
space
right.
to go and where no one will bother you.
I mean, they had to do it, right? Well, I mean, they had to.
They had to.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I want to just take a moment. You know, we were busy yesterday. We were talking about the death of Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. The man who invented the infomercial, the modern modern-day infomercial, and the man who invented so many things, Ron Popeil, passed away at the age of 86. He was an inventor and essentially discovered that through a TV commercial that looked like a TV show with a live audience, that was a great way to sell products directly to the public. Some of his inventions included the Showtime rotisserie. Remember? He'd have the whole audience say, "Set it and forget it." And there always was, what was the other thing? He always said, "Wait, there's more." I mean, no matter how much stuff he had given you that came with the deal, it was always, "Wait, there's more." He also invented Mr. Microphone. And my favorite invention was the Pocket Fisherman. Now, I was talking to Newell during our crossover at the end of Newell's show, and Newell said that he actually caught a fish with the Pocket Fisherman. Here's what I found interesting about the Pocket Fisherman. It's like, is there a need for this? I mean, are you walking around life and, you know, you suddenly think, damn, I wish I had a fishing rod with me right now. I wish I had a fishing rod in my pocket. No, I mean, you plan to go fishing, right? You make an effort to go to go fishing. And I never thought that there was a need for a pocket fisherman because I just never could think of any time in my life. And I'm walking around going, damn, I sure wish I had a fishing rod in my pocket. But hey, he sold a lot of them, and apparently it worked because Newell said he caught a fish on one. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Walter, who is in Biloxi. Hey, Walter.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, I just want to share a life experience that I'm seeing out there in the real world that I live in.
Okay.
I have accounts from Oklahoma to Florida. I am a Trump supporter. I was one of the first in line to get the vaccine, and my circle of friends includes Trump supporters, Democrats, whatever. I mean, we're all people. But the thing that I'm seeing in the 53 accounts that I have as I visit them and as I try to hire people, it's more people of color that is not interested in getting this vaccine, that's afraid of getting this vaccine. So when I hear people talk about it's Trump supporters, I don't see that in the world that I live in. And, you know, I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, I know that is a problem. You know, it is a problem with minorities as well. But, you know, there are also a lot of people who, you know, look, they are Trump supporters. But I mean, I don't say it every time, but I try to say it almost every time when I talk about the Trumpers who attack the Capitol. I refer to them now as Trump extremists. It's not fair to say that those are, you know, because all Trump supporters don't support that. All conservatives, all Republicans don't support that. And I understand your point, Walter, but there still are a lot of, you know, I mean, the hospitals are filled with people that are not just people of color. It has been a problem with people of color as well to convince them for a lot of different historical reasons. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. I'm glad that you're in a circle where a lot of people are getting the vaccine, and it's not about politics. And I applaud you for making the decision as well. And I appreciate the call. Let's see. I want to mention that there's a young DJ, and he's being helped by Steve Scafidi, who's a film producer here in the New Orleans area. Papa Dude. So Steve's other name, because Papa Dude writes books, kids' books. DJ Oliver, DJ Ollie. All right, so they're doing a real New Orleans music jam session this afternoon from 4 to 7 at Little Miss Muffin on Harrison Avenue. And Steve is really helping this guy, like, just find himself. And so it's, you know, I love when somebody sees somebody that needs help and they help them out. And Steve, Papa Dude, is a really good guy for helping him out. So anyway, DJ Ollie, Papa Dude, a real New Orleans music jam. It's happening from 4 to 7 at Little Miss Muffin on Harrison Avenue. I might actually have to stop by and say hi if I can do that a little bit later. Also, earlier in the show, we were talking about the Alternative Rock Festival, Lollapalooza, opened up today, Grant Park, Chicago. It's the 30th anniversary of Lollapalooza, which was canceled last year because of the pandemic, but it's back this year. But there are new rules. All fest-goers are required to bring a printed copy of their vaccine card, vaccine record. They have to prove that they've been vaccinated or prove that they had a recent negative COVID-19 test. And if they are negative, they have to wear a mask. Now, I wrote a blog about this titled, "Is Requiring Proof of Vaccination Discrimination?" It's posted on our website, WWL.com. And, you know, yeah, it's discrimination. It's discriminating against people who pose a threat, those who are not getting vaccinated, because that's where the threat is coming from. And, you know, I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, but I don't know how else to interpret that. You have a right, but you don't have a right to go everywhere. And these rules apparently can stand up. And then here in New Orleans, Tipitina's, the Maple Leaf, and DBA, all music venues, they're now going to require, starting tomorrow, they're going to require proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID-19 test if you're going to enter. I'm concerned about the idea that somebody who doesn't get the test, are they going to really wear? I mean, somebody who doesn't, who gets a negative test, somebody who did not get the vaccine, are they really going to wear a mask? I don't know, because there'll be people in these places not wearing masks because they've been vaccinated. So how do you tell? And some people who are not getting the vaccination are arrogant to the point where, well, I don't care. This is what I believe, and I'm going to do this. So I'm concerned about that rule. I don't know how that's going to be upheld. But we do seem to be moving toward a time when more and more places, and I mean, could this be part of Jazz Fest? I don't know. Could it be part of Saints games? I don't know. I mean, I doubt Saints games, but I mean, we're seeing this trend where proof of vaccination is something that is coming up. Do you think that's discrimination? Is that not fair? Or if you're like me, a fully vaccinated person, honestly, I would feel better going to a place where I knew everybody was vaccinated. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. From Slidell, Tom, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Stuart, how you doing?
I'm good.
I just want to comment on your comment about the pocket fishermen.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I have pocket fishermen. In fact, I still have it. And
really?
I've caught fish on it, and I've enjoyed it. And, you know, the one thing about it, you know, you're an avid fisherman or not, you know, you just ride along that day, all the days of work or something. You got one in your truck, you just stop, saw a little pond, you fish a little while, relax, and you caught a fish, fine. If you didn't, you drank a Dixie, you know, and that was life back then, you know.
Well, that's it's cool. I'm glad it worked. Now, you've got the pocket fisherman. Now, what do you use for bait? I mean, you have to go out of your way to get bait, right?
Well, if you're a bass fisherman like me, you use a lot of artificials, you know. So
okay,
you just kind of carry that around with you, you know, it's a little bag or something. You know, you don't have to have a lot. You know, just mainly to sit down and relax, you know, and enjoy the life. You know, that was it about for me, but. I never did use it in tournaments or anything, don't get me wrong, but I thought it was a good investment for $10 or $12 or whatever I paid for.
That's cool.
Years ago, you know?
I was just thinking, I'm not a fisherman. I've gone fishing. I mean, I've gone in the Gulf, and I've gone fishing in a few different places. It's been a very, very long time since I've been fishing, but I just never thought that there was a need for, like, oh my God, I've got this like pocket fisherman, so I'm ready to go in case I come across a moment where I want to suddenly start to fish. But look, it's nice to know that it worked. And I also wanted to talk to anybody who's ordered something from an infomercial, and did it turn out to be as good as it looked on TV? I have never ordered anything from an infomercial. because I'm afraid that when I get it, I'm going to go, this is junk. But maybe that's not the case. All right, Tom. I appreciate the call. All right, yeah, I would love to talk to anybody who has bought products from infomercials. What did you buy? And did it live up to what you expected? Or was it a ripoff? I see some of these infomercials and some of these items, and it just doesn't seem like it's really necessary. Like there's something, I think it's called the egg scrambler, and it scrambles the egg inside. It goes in, there's a little drill or something that goes in. It scrambles the egg inside the shell before you break the shell. Is there a need for that? I mean, do you really need to scramble the egg before you break the yolk? I mean, before you break the shell? Because if you break the shell, and I mean, how hard is it to scramble an egg? But there are people out there who, I guess, bought the egg scrambler because they wanted to scramble the egg before they cracked it open. What good would it do to have a scrambled egg inside of the shell? I mean, would you scramble the egg and then put that in the microwave? But I mean, it could still, the stuff could come out of the hole that you drill in it. So, I mean, I don't know. All right, if you've got a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Steve. He's at Metairie. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
I'm kind of confused on all of the, ever since all of this whole COVID thing started, I've heard so much different stuff. Do this, don't do that, do that, yeah. Don't do this. And my questions are, if you get the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, now, even though you're vaccinated, you got to wear a mask. So what was the point in getting the vaccine if you got to wear the mask? And if you're protected, what do you got to worry about?
Well, there's definitely changing information. And it's not that it was a lie in the beginning. It's that this was a new disease. And the Delta variant is new. And as the medical community would get new information about it, they would make adjustments. I think it's a legitimate question. I mean, look, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. But if you get it, you know, and you're vaccinated, chances are you're not going to die, or you're not going to end up in the hospital and put a burden on the system. So that's the advantage. I mean, even if you get it, there's still an advantage to getting the vaccine.
Okay.
But if you could wear a mask and not get sick, even if you're vaccinated, which I am, then, you know, even better.
Okay, so now, you know, it's all out. Everybody's hearing about these people that have been fully vaccinated and dying.
So, well, not many.
Again,
not many.
Not many?
No.
Don't you think one's too many?
Well, of course. But, I mean, you make it sound like this is a big trend. When you look at the, I mean, I think the people who are dying, it's like 0.009%. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, if you want to compare statistics and percentages, the survival rate is 99%. Am I correct or am I wrong? You would know better than
yeah.
I. You
no,
got
I think
more information than
I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
So, then there's no logic in your statistics.
All right. What is the percentage of people that drive recklessly and get home every day? It's a pretty high percentage.
I do not know.
But it would be a high percentage. Would you think it's a high percentage that a lot of people drive recklessly and they get home safely? They don't die.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
All right, well, I will tell you this. I will tell you this. I see people driving recklessly all the time, and what I see on the road doesn't match the accident rate that day. So a lot of people drive recklessly, and they make it home. Therefore, if you want to use statistics, then let's think about how that would give you permission to drive recklessly. Well, these people drive recklessly. They get home anyway, so I'm just going to drive recklessly. If you drive recklessly, you've got a better chance of dying.
I got you. Well, you know, from the get-go, we've been told things, and then they turn around and crawfish and everything
no,
changes.
No.
From
Steve,
one thing
Steve,
to another.
Don't wear a mask.
Vaccinated.
We always get new information about things.
Well, I mean, when's it going to stop? When are they going to know what the hell they're talking about before they say anything?
Do you know anything about science? I mean, do you know, like, the slightest thing about science?
No, I know about common sense.
Okay, well, then don't ask questions like, when are they going to know? Because they may never know. Because there's stuff going on in your body right now that you don't even know about. And there may be something that they don't know about. I mean, we're like living beings. And if you think that you're going to always find an answer to everything, if that's your quest, you're going to be really disappointed in life. Steve, I have to move on. Wow. What a call. All right. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to more of your calls and more of your text coming up. Since it was on this day in 1978 that the Grease soundtrack became number one in the country, we're featuring some of the songs from the great soundtrack. And man, this was one of them. And John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, were they just not the cutest couple ever? I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be back on WWL. And this song from the Grease soundtrack. In fact, you know, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack was out about the same time. This song from Olivia Newton-John, Hopelessly Devoted to You, actually won a nomination for an Academy Award Best Original Song. So, yeah, we're going to continue to feature some of the songs from the soundtrack. Let's go to Covington. Carl, you're on WWL. Thank you for hanging on.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say a few things. Like the guy was saying before, you know, they're saying that 90% of the people hospitalized and all are unvaccinated. But you made the comment, okay, a few people are dying that are vaccinated. The percentage, like he said, is 99% that you're going to survive it, vaccinated or not. Mm-hmm. So you said 09 or something, 0.09% die that are vaccinated, and maybe 1% die that are not vaccinated. I mean, so the numbers are close. So, I mean, here's one thing else I got to say. Did you ever smoke cigarettes in your life?
No. I mean, I did for like 6 months when I was 18 years old. But I really
for you. I never have. Yeah. But the people that did smoke, and people sat around them in bar rooms and stuff, they didn't really care about the people around them breathing in the smoke. And I didn't really care about it. I didn't smoke. I sat in the bar room breathing it in. But
yeah,
I mean,
me too.
You know, so, I mean, people are going to make decisions on their own. Look, I had COVID and I walked right through it. My sister's 74 years old. She walked through it. Some people won't. But I'm just saying, you know, people are going to make their own decisions. I don't personally did not want to take the vaccine, but to satisfy the populace of the world, I'm going to get the vaccine. I don't take shots. I hate needles, but I'm going to take it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of needles. I mean, some people really have a phobia about that. So, you know, you may be one of those people. So I understand that, Carl. You're right. Glad you called. People are going to make their minds up about this. And, you know, look, you can twist the percentages out around any way you want to satisfy you. I mean, that, you know, you can do that if you want to. But I will tell you this. There are, I don't know what the percentage is because there's no way of knowing. But think about all of the people and think about all the times that you've done it. Think about all the times that you have driven drunk and you made it home. So why don't we say, since the percentage of people, because it is, the percentage of people who drive drunk and get home is a very high percentage of people. So let's use that to say, then it's okay to drink and drive. Let's go to Bayou Man, who is down in Lafourche. Bayou Man, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm a long-time listener and everything.
I appreciate it.
We're going to talk about this virus. We got a virus, right? And it's all on media. The media is putting out a bunch of stuff, and we don't know who to believe anymore. You know, it depends on the individual itself. Now, I haven't been vaccinated yet, and I'm going to get vaccinated. But it depends on the individual, how the individual feels and how. And what their metabolism. Now, get away from that. We talk about the January 6th deal, and everybody says, oh, the Republicans had a lot to do with it. You don't think the Democrats had something to do with it?
I don't know.
Come on, man. Let's face it. Biden wanted to get in that office so bad he could taste it.
Man, if you've got evidence of that, I wish you'd send it to me because I'd love to talk about it.
Well, you know, well, dude, you know, Biden got in with no problems. So let's put two and two together and figure it out from there.
Come all right, on, buddy, dude. Man. All right. I'm not really sure what you're saying, but I'm glad you had a chance to call the show. Appreciate you listening down on the bayou. Very quickly, have we got time for a couple of texts?
Sure. I wanted to just say something about Steve.
Yeah.
Who said, when are they going to learn what they're talking about? If Steve was the coach of the New Orleans Saints, he would be starting Michael Thomas on the first game.
That's a good point.
You see my point? Science is like that. And it's not just science. He was like, well, I don't understand science, but I understand common sense. Then you should understand. The information changed. The calculus changed. And you have to adapt to new information. If there's a new variant that's causing your infection rate to spike, you might need to go back to saying people need to wear masks.
That's right.
Come on, man.
Here's the metaphor is when the quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage and he sees a change in the defense, he calls a friggin' audible.
Right. That's common sense. That's not science. So there's no excuse for BLRL. I don't understand that. Come on. That is cutting. Anyway, here's a couple texts I'll read for you on the way out the door here. This says, I hate people citing the 99% survival rate. Survive just means they didn't die. Lose a lung? Survived. Can't walk 50 feet without being short of breath anymore? Survived. Can't eat because your sense of taste and smell is altered and everything tastes awful? Survived.
Good point.
Here's one more that says, the whole annoyance people are having is the original incentive to get the vaccine was so that we would not have to wear the mask. So a lot of people are angry about that and is confusing. Here's one more that says, I just left a funeral of a healthy 53-year-old man who died from COVID, wasn't vaccinated in Baton Rouge.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's happening. I mean, you can, again, you can choose to believe what you want to believe. So since this is the day that Lollapalooza is opening in Chicago, I went to the Odyssey app and I typed in Lollapalooza. And it's a bunch of stations that got like Lollapalooza music on it. And if you remember going to Lollapalooza here in New Orleans when it was here, that's last time in the mid-90s maybe, just do that. Download the app Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and just type in Lollapalooza. Get some great, great music. We've got hundreds of stations for you. It's the Odyssey exclusive stations brought to you by Macy's and Geico. Just download the Odyssey app. This is one of my favorite songs from Greece, Beauty School Dropout. I mean, come on, you couldn't get through beauty school? We'll be back on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.